welcome back to another of our episodes on abortion rights in Europe. Today we are taking a more focused view on abortion rights, while in our previous episode we presented an EU overview regarding abortion rights. In this sense, I'm happy to welcome Natalia, Justyna and Kinga from the Abortion Dream Team from Poland as our guests today. This discussion with your organisation, active in protecting women's reproductive rights since 2006, will tackle important topics regarding the legislative framework on abortion in Poland, Poland's reaction to the death of a 30-year-old young woman, and many more burning issues. I think there are enough to fill a half an hour discussion. In this sense, I'm happy to kick off the second podcast as part of our series on abortion rights in Europe. This series is happening, among others, in the context of the one-year anniversary of the Polish Constitutional Court ruling that legislation on abortion on grounds of severe and irreversible fetal defect or incurable illness that threatens the fetus life was incompatible with the Polish Constitution. This posed a near total ban on seeking abortion in Poland. So just to kick off this discussion, I would like to give the floor to our participants to give a short overview on themselves.
Hi, hello everybody. Mira, thank you very much for having us here. We're really glad to be part of the podcast. My name is Kinga Jelińska. I am Polish, obviously. I work and live in Amsterdam for the last 17 years and have been helping in various capacities Polish people to have safe abortions despite the stigma law and various barriers. And I'm a member of Abortion Dream Team, and also I work with Women Help Women.
Great, thank you. Let's go to Natalia.
Hi everyone. So I'm Natalia. I'm also Polish. I live in Warsaw. And I'm abortion doula, abortion feminist activist, self-managed abortion enthusiast. I work closely with Women Help Women, with Kinga, with Justyna, who helped me with my abortion a couple years ago. And we decided to work together after this experience with Caro. She's not here because she's on her holidays. She's our lawyer. I'm also academic. Right now, I'm in difficult position during writing my PhD thesis about helping in abortion in Poland. And I think that's the most important thing about me.
Great. Thank you to have you here, Natalia. And then Justyna.
Hi. Hello, everybody. So can be another. I'm also Polish. So I live in north center of Poland, not in Warsaw. I am also abortion doula since many, many years. As you have heard, I helped Natalia in her own abortion, which I didn't know at that moment. And I also answer calls on abortion without borders helpline since 2019.
Great, thank you very much. I can just reiterate that we're Amnesty International and myself, we're very happy to have you here today. So I would like to, as a first question, ask you to present the Abortion Dream Team to our listeners in a few sentences, because this is especially for those that might have not come over your organization until now.
So we are the Abortion Dream Team. We are four people who 5 years ago decided that we had enough of how abortion is spoken about in Poland, and that we want to actually speak about the realities and needs of abortion as people who have had abortions ourselves, and as people that for years have been working with people on self-management of abortion. So with women and pregnant people who take the pills at home and do their own abortions. So we started a collective without any name, to be very honest, at that time. And at certain point, we decided that the way forward would be to go and organize talks about abortion and really share our knowledge and try to focus not so much on the abortion debates and, you know, the theories about it and moralistic things and the politics of abortion, but really speak about the blood and the tissue and how this experience actually is. So we started to go around Poland, and Natalia in her Facebook post referred to us after such an event, one of the first ones actually. She said, oh, this is my abortion dream team, which was meant for us, and of course very kind and nice. And consecutively, I think a journalist picked it up and started to call us like this, and it stayed ever since. We are four people, and that's the collective, but of course we work with many more. We work with a group of 12 people now who are supporting us on social media in responding to very practical questions from people from all across Poland, how to do an abortion, what are my options, and also seeking support during self-managing their own abortion, so while they are taking the pills. And we work with a network that we call Abortion Friends in Poland, who are such sources and points of information in many parts of the country.
Great, thank you very much for that overview. I think that made it clear to many listeners how you support women in Poland, especially regarding abortion rights. So let me just kind of give a short introduction into Poland itself. The Polish government has been rolling back on women's rights for nearly 2 years now. This is part of an overall rollback on human rights. This is not just women rights. The PiS party has been in power since 2015 and has made many attempts, sometimes successful, sometimes not so successful, to limit human rights in any respect, be this the right to free speech, the rollback of the independence of the judiciary systems, or the curse on women's reproductive rights, which we're speaking about today. Could I ask each of you to give our listeners what you perceive as the most harmful decision the Polish government has taken in its development into an illiberal democracy?
This is a very difficult question because Polish politics are not friendly to many people, and it's very difficult to choose the most harmful decision. But when we talk about abortion, I would say that when we think about Polish politics, it's very hard to find good decision because it's a long story of bad decisioning. The first bad decision was in 93 when the total ban of abortion was created 3 years after the political transformation. Women and people who were able to be pregnant, get pregnant, lost rights to safe abortion. And till the medical abortion came to Poland, we had no safe place to go for many years. We also have to mention the decision from last year, because the context is very important. We are, you know, during pandemia, where people have many difficulties to, you know, to stay safe, to stay healthy. And I would say probably, I'm quite sure that Poland is the one country in the whole world who banned abortion during the pandemia. And when you think about context, when you think about the economic safety, how people lose jobs, apartments, have to, you know, go to live with their parents again, and in the same time they are pregnant, it's very cruel to make the law even more restricted. Especially when it's so difficult to travel. And since last October, we can see that we maybe not receive, but right now we take care of clients who are in some way different clients than before. Many of these people are in, you know, wanted pregnancy, they planned this pregnancy, and in some day they found out that the pregnancy is that the fetus has some abnormalities, and probably it will die straight after the birth. So it's really cruelty, I think, that politicians who are chosen, you know, to create law for the people are deciding that our life has to be even more complicated than it was, and it was complicated. That is why we also decided to work together, because in 2016 we realized that all of the Polish politicians are still debating, you know, about abortion. Like the abortion discussion is happening all the time, all day long, in television, in church, in parliament, everywhere and every day. But no one talks about the reality. And if you are not, you have good connections, you don't know, it's very difficult to know resources. And we decided to share this good message that abortion in Poland is possible and it can be safe, it can be good experience, despite of the politician's decision.
Yeah, I would back you up, Natalia, on this, that I think it's quite a sophisticated construction, a cultural and a political construction of controlling over women's bodies that has to do with criminalization, predominantly the one that happened in 1993, because now we talk a lot about the Constitutional Court's decision from last year, which was, I would say, a nail to the coffin in a legal sense. But the rollback on abortion rights, it's really 30 years ago, right? Where women's bodies basically became a political currency to negotiate with the church, etc., etc. So we live in this extremely hostile environment for quite some time. And of course, now with the rise of, you know, right-wing politicians and populist politicians have become worse, such as it is also we see in many countries. But the good thing, indeed, is that there is resistance and there is opposition to it. And sometimes it gets so bad that people get incredibly angry and start to protest and start to organize the self, kind of a self-defense of solidarity networks to help each other. So there is access to safe abortion in Poland, but you need to know where to call. You have to call the hotline of Abortion Without Borders and can get support, can get referrals, how to get the pills safely and do your own abortions at home in Poland, which is a safe method, a method recommended by the World Health Organization, a method used by millions of people and something quite normal and practical, especially in the pandemic situation. And also you can go abroad with the financing of Abortion Without Borders group and financial help. So I think it's very important to understand that when we look at Poland, we have these two parallel worlds. One is about politics and about laws that are completely, completely not in any compatibility with real needs of people. And the second is the street and the networks and the activism around the topic, which had become much more practical in the last years.
Great, thank you very much. I think that was very interesting to hear that there are these two streams that you mentioned, Kinga, and that abortion, the rollback on abortion rights in the political stream has happened since 1993. So this is an ongoing thing, but obviously has been, but obviously the COVID-19 pandemic and the focus on the health crisis has been a opportunity window for a right-wing government to roll back more on abortion rights, as we saw with the Polish constitutional ruling in October last year. Okay, so now you've mentioned this rollback over the last 40 year over the last 30 years in Poland on abortion rights. I think I would be very interested in knowing if this rollback on abortion rights really does come back to a few illiberal politicians, such as the PiS party being in power since 2015, Or are there other underlining reasons why this rollback on abortion is happening in Poland in such a long time?
I would say that Polish politics, it's not so complicated, but we have to remember that church is still very full of influence in our country. And I think that many politicians, especially from the right-wing side, they still believe that they have to pay something off to the church for the support, and it's still happening. But I would say also that it's because of the patriarchy. Like, it's, you know, it's not maybe something new, but I really believe that that Poland is, when you think about the political parties, it's still, we are in the, I don't know, previous decades. It's still full of patriarchy, the gender roles. It's not about the abortion, but when you think about the other struggles, we don't have IVF support. We don't have equal marriages. We have many difficulties with the support of people with disabilities. So when you think about the abortion, it's almost the same, because they know that people have abortions. They know, but they don't care. It's our private issue, and we have to, you know, taking care of it by ourselves. Yeah, I think it's a neoliberal kind of, you know, doing politics. So it's very difficult to change this situation, because they really believe that it's a private problem.
If I try to understand the fact that politicians are thinking that it is a private problem, how come that politically they curse women's access to abortion in the way that they are doing since a couple of years? If it's a private issue, why don't they just leave it to everybody to decide freely?
Because they don't want to be associated with this, and they don't want to pay for it. We have to take care of it by our private money, you know, in silence, with no support, and that's okay for them. And in some way, when we talk about Poland, I know that there is a popular view that in Poland the situation is really horrible and difficult. In some way it is. But at the other hand, we work together since 5 years. We provided 34,000 abortion only in last year. We managed to send 1,000 people abroad during pandemia for abortion in second trimester. We collected money to work. We received huge support. And when you think about that, in some way, you know, we are in between the hell and, I would say, paradise, because really, to be honest, you can have safe abortion with amazing people. You can have good abortion experience with no judgment, with no stigma in Poland. And it is possible because of amazing group of people who decided to be brave enough. And I'm saying about the network of the people who are working with us. They decided, you know, to engage in this, to share their knowledge. And again, politicians are not interested about us. And in this, you know, when you see this, you can see that for them, in some way, it's, you know, it's good to be not interested. But we also work together, and we help this, you know, in abortion in last year to 34,000 of people, also to show them that the law is dead. And we will use our work also to show them that enough is enough. They have to, you know, also be responsible.
I want to add to this that, you know, especially coming from abroad or coming from a country with more liberal laws, such as, let's say, Germany or France or the Netherlands, where I'm in, people tend to think very binary. They think there is a good abortion law and then there are bad abortion laws that are restricted. While the reality actually is a little bit different. There are no abortion laws that are good. All of them, a priori, are bad because all of them come from a key of stigma, key of controlling, key of excluding certain people and putting the parameters which abortion is acceptable and which abortion is not. And we talk about it a lot to really, like, you know, deconstruct what are the actual reasons of how we are almost conditioned culturally to think about abortion. And we conditioned to think about it as something, you know, that is should be avoided as much as possible, but that is completely not what our experience as abortionists tells us, because we see abortion as an access to abortion as social good. And also something happened in the meantime, which doesn't have to do at all with the laws or at all with the criminalization, but is a technological innovation. So basically what happened in abortion care, which I would say is arguably the most important finding and the biggest revolution, is that there became abortion pills. Abortion pills can cause a miscarriage. Miscarriages happen a lot. This is simple, pretty straightforward, the process, and medically speaking, with a very low risk of complication. So in countries like Poland, as well as we could see it all throughout Latin America and continues to be all through Latin America and in Africa, feminist groups have capitalized on this new technology because pills are easier to transport also to countries where abortion is quote unquote illegal and difficult to get. And in certain ways, I would make an argument that they have created an autonomous movement of abortionists that are doing abortions based predominantly in evidence of safety and not some absurd laws that tell us we have to think 3 days, we have to consult 7 people, you know? No, let's look at the technology and its safety and use it to the in its optimal way, right? And the optimal way of using it is to absolutely let go and trust people that they can handle their bodies. And we say it a lot in Abortion Dream Team, but in many ways, this feminist movement that is working like Abortion Dream Team is, but you would find similar groups with similar ethos of freeing the information, democratizing the information, of giving people access to peers in many other geographies with restrictive laws, have created, in a sense, this paradigm outside of the absurdity of the law, right? Of the legal framework. Of course, that doesn't mean that the state doesn't have a function anymore. Of course, they should be providing care in the state institutions, in hospitals, in clinics, etc. But what we do need on a global level is a radical demedicalization of abortion and stop thinking that safe abortion is only in the hospital, that the only guarantee of its safety is a medical provider. No, that is coming from an old school paradigm and very often again from stigma and from the willingness of controlling people's body through hands of doctors, through the instruments of law and other oppressive mechanisms. So I think it's important to talk about it, that Poland, this abortion story in Poland is very double. You have a lot of sufferance and harm and completely useless, unnecessary suffering that we are seeing in public institutions due to indeed lack of access, etc. But you also have the innovation and the acting according to the true potential of the technology of pills.
And I want to also underline this, that the situation in Poland is really not so bad as we hear sometimes from abroad. We have, as Kinga said, we have pills. About 80% of all the abortions done in Poland are done with pills up to 12 weeks. So it means if we help in 34,000 abortions, so about 27 was done with pills up to 12 weeks. So it is really a lot. And nobody, because of Polish law, it was prosecuted about this. It is legal to take them at home, and it's legal to do self-managed abortion at home. And we can really do it very quickly, cheaply, easily, and safe.
Thank you very much for all of your contributions. I think it was really interesting, and I'm very happy to hear that the situation on abortion is not as bad as it is depicted maybe in other countries. But also, I think the point that Kinga made on that abortion is not black or white, and legislation is never good on abortion, be this in Poland, be this in Germany. And I'm really happy you referred to this, because our next podcast will be about this topic, about abortion in Germany, which is allowed but actually not decriminalized. So there's no real abortion law that is good. Now, Talia, you refer to how many abortions you're allowed to happen in 2020, which were 34,000 abortions, which is an amazing amount of abortions that you made happen, and you helped so many women in Poland to access these services. We've heard a lot about activists in Poland being harassed and attacked as well for being activists against Polish legislation. So now you're an activist group defending these women in Poland and helping so many women to access abortion. Have you encountered any hostility, attacks, or government activities that limited your activism? And if yes, could you describe what has happened?
Concerning abortion, I would say no. But when we think about abortion and the, you know, harassing the activists, in some way, you know, going to the police station to speak about stickers or some sign on the wall, it's not a nice thing. It's a problematic, and it should not be this way. But Polish law is very old, and the criminal code is also from the 97. It was created before the time when the pills arrived to Poland, abortion pills arrived to Poland. So our opinion in this field is that thing that we do, supporting people during medical abortion at home, saying to people that it will be okay, that you can go to the hospital, that you can not go to the hospital if you feel good, that you can take some painkillers, that you can, I don't know, lay down and watch some movies. For us, it's a, you know, act of empathy, not a crime. And we will do it even if someone will say that it is a crime. But right now, nothing of this is happening.
It is, of course, not a secret that we have a lot of fans, even in anti-choice activists, because we see how they comment our activity on Facebook, on Instagram, even on TikTok. So we know that they track our activity. We know that they observe us. We also know that they use our faces on their bus and they travel and scream about some anti-abortion words. But we sometimes laugh that this is kind of advertisement we even couldn't pay for. So we love that it is good because they publish our name on their social media, on their websites, and even if there is a person who is now anti-abortion, there could be a moment in her or his life that he decides to stop the pregnancy, and then he will or she will knew who to find.
Exactly, because for us what is the most important is the audience, and we do not speak to politicians predominantly. Sure, if you invite us for a debate, we will come if we have time, but the primary audience for us and how we speak, in what tone, in what language, etc., are people who need abortions, because they are there right now and are a complete priority for us. So to go on Justyna's point, you know, I mean, there's no bad advertisements, as they say. So indeed, people get to find out about us also from, you know, the not so nice posts about us. But yes, obviously, in a larger sense, you can speak about, you know, shrinking of civil society, and less like one of the strategies is to wear off the activists, right? So it's not only the actual court cases or, you know, sitting in jail, but it's also this constant harassment and this little hate campaigns and all these things that, you know, you have to take in emotionally and have to be able to build resilience to this. And obviously this is happening, and it's not only happening in the abortion field, but in many of the so-called progressive causes. And yes, we will not deny that it is not happening, because it is obviously there.
Thank you very much. Once more, we witnessed your positive attitude to everything around abortion in Poland, which has become very clear in the last 30 minutes. I wanted to touch upon, which is the death of the 30-year-old Isabella, which was published earlier this month and happened in September. She was in her 22nd week of pregnancy when she was hospitalized, and the death of the fetus during her treatment sent her into a septic shock, and she died 24 hours later. And here, crucial, doctors were reluctant to act and waited until the fetus died to drain her uterus. And this hesitancy came especially because of the legislation on abortion in Poland. According to lawyers, the doctors' decisions were in accordance with the rules that have been made in Poland. Did your organization in any way react to this? And if yes, in what have you done? What is your position on this?
So day after the news came out about the Isa sad story, we were shocked, and it was difficult to think and plan something in our heads. Straight after the news came out, we had thoughts about the Savita from Ireland and Valentina from Italy, the same stories, and we knew that it should not happen. Like, it was something that we felt, you know, in our whole bodies, that it should not happen anymore. We encourage people to light a candle in the window at the same time and put a hashtag, any other more, yes. And next day, so we decided to go to the in front of the constitutional court with the candles and with the signs, and many people came. It was in Warsaw, but the same actions happened in almost 60 places in whole Poland, and it was a quiet protest to remember Isabella. And 5 days later, we organized a demonstration for Isabella in Warsaw, and almost 80 other cities joined to us to also organize this kind of demonstrations in their places. And we decided to do it to remind people that Isabella did not die because of the tribunal decision. but and also to recall that Isabella was not the first person. We have very similar story from 2004. No one remembered the Agata because of the stigma, because of the abortion stigma, because of that, no one was interested about the abortion 15 years ago. It was different than it is right now. And Agata died in the same situation as Isabella. So it was for Isabella, it was for Agata, and for many other people who died in the same situation, or they are still alive, but it was, you know, very close to death. For us, it was the start of conversation about the abortion reality and about violence in public hospitals, especially when we think about pregnant people, about the stigma, about the loneliness, about the law and criminalization of abortion. And we hope that this discussion will be long and fruitful. We believe that it's needed. We know that Isabella, and we know that from friends of Isabella, from her brother, from her mother, that Isabella was a fighter, women's rights fighter. And it's, for me, it's very touching because I read the interview with her best friend, and she said that Isabella would do everything to stop this and to, you know, not let it happen again. So we have to continue this.
And after that, we observe kind of Isabella's syndrome, because on Abortion Without Borders helpline and also on all the communications channels with ADT, we observed that there were many people and many women in the hospitals during the pregnancy in the same situation like she was. And I think in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we get information from maybe 5 or 6 women in the same situation like she was. And also we met with the fear, what would happen to me if I will be in the same moment as she was. So the fear is around people, and they really afraid what they can do if they meet with such situation in the hospitals, or if the pregnancy, if the fetus will be dead, or what they should do and how they should behave. So this is very sad.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I don't know if somebody had goosebumps, but honestly, like, this story is a very touching story. But hopefully it also initiates some talks, such as Natalia has said. In the European Union, it has definitely initiated more talks, because last week, actually, the European Parliament voted on a resolution condemning the Polish Constitutional Court's ruling that happened last year. And that places a de facto total ban on abortion. So it was kind of initiator also for the European Parliament to step up their efforts to actually fight this rollback on women's rights in Poland. And now the European Parliament is asking the Polish government to lift the ban. Can I ask you if there has been any reaction from the Polish government to this resolution that the European Parliament has adopted last week?
Well, I honestly don't know. I haven't seen any official reaction. Of course, it had been mentioned in media, and it has been positively welcomed, of course, by also non-profit organizations, etc. And it's good that this happened, and we appreciate the support. And I think it's also important for the people abroad to realize that there are formal channels of support and criticism, and, you know, the statal channels, etc., etc. But at present, the situation in Poland is that most of the abortions are carried or supported by non-profit organizations, often small carried by feminists and supported by private or by the money of private individuals. And we do need help, structural help to oppose that, because people do have abortions every day. But as of a reaction of the government, Natalia, did you see any official report that they would comment on that?
No, but our government is quite famous because of not reacting to EU decisions or bills or recommendations. So it's, you know, it's not something new for me.
But the only reaction was the Ministry of Health, who prepared the way of behaving in such situation like ISA was, which was pretty stupid, because really they should prepare the protocols for doctors how to behave in such situation. Really, do they really need this? How to the protocols how to save life?
Yeah, it's the criminalization and stigma and violence within the medical system. We talk about it for many years, about obstetric violence, right? So a set of practices that are aimed at degrading pregnant people and stigmatizing them. And it's not only about abortion, but it's also organizations that are working with safe birth and birth rights and general reproductive health of women, right? And this is a problem to be spoken about as well. And because I will never forget in the interview with Isa's mom, when her mother is saying, well, she went to the hospital, where else was she supposed to go in such situation, right? On this presumption that this is a safe space. And unfortunately, as it stands in Poland, it is not. And there is even organizing among, again, nonprofit organizations to support people who even have right to legal abortion, to empower them, to help them with this kind of negotiations, because it's this vicious circle of misinformation, passivity, stigma, and chilling effect of the criminal law.
Thank you very much for that insight into the Polish government. Polish government's reaction to what the European Parliament voted on. And it's kind of quite, as Natalia said, quite exemplary for the fact that the Polish government never really reacts to any decisions that or demands that have been made by the European Union. Now, Kinga, one last question before we finish the podcast. You said that abortion is mostly undertaken by non-governmental organizations, and that hospitals, as in the case of Isabella, are obviously not the safe place anymore due to the legislation that exists. I think a few years ago, the Polish government has equally taken control of the funding to these organizations. And so I asked myself if there's a role for some external player to play in funding organizations in Poland that that allow so many women outside of the political sphere and legislative sphere to still seek abortion. Is there some external player that should take this role, such as the EU or other member states or neighboring member states, or are there member states that are already taking up this this help?
Thank you for this question, Mira. I think there is, of course, from other European member states to support initiatives and to support civil society, right? Who are experts in their local environments, in their local conditions? They know how to do it. They know how to fight and how to organize resistance, right? So it's on all levels, I would say strategically, the most fair and the most equitable way. And as Abortion Without Borders initiative, we have received a donation from the Belgian government, who was for us extremely, also on symbolic level, empowering, right? Because it is the Ministry of Health of Belgium saying this is not right what Poland is doing. People have right to access abortion within the European Union. Those are groups who are helping with this. And as I say, the sole responsibility for financing that, because abortions do cost if they are not provided within you know, local healthcare for free, cannot just be on private private people who contribute donations. There has to be a more systemic reaction to this. And we, in that sense, we very much would like to encourage, because it's a help that's really needed. We are talking about thousands and thousands of people, and the situation is not getting any better legally, but there are options. And we have figured out how to organize on a European level that people in Poland can have access to pills, and those who, for example, are longer in the pregnancy or have do not want to take pills for whatever reason, can travel abroad. But then there are financial as well as logistical barriers, right? People need to be informed where to go, how to travel, what are the laws. It's quite a puzzle, and it's not a simple one. It's quite complex, and in an already, for what can be for many people already stressful situation, not because they need an abortion, but because there are all these barriers, right? That is how the situation gets tricky, that you have to like really find the resources and find find the right way. And again, if we look at the, you know, public health recommendation, the only proportionate and reasonable way is to promote information about safe abortion methods as broadly as possible, as part of, you know, human rights obligation. It's just an ethical human thing to do, and provide access to those who will need the access right here, right now.
Thank you very much, Kinga, for this insight into how and what role EU member states have to play in supporting non-governmental organizations that allow so many women to seek abortion in Poland. And we're very happy for initiatives such as from the Belgian Ministry of Health in showing that what is happening in Poland is not correct, and that they are supporting those groups which are doing the correct thing. So I would really like to make some closing remarks at this point and round up this podcast, which has been great. Like, speaking to you three has been very, very encouraging, because you have such a positive attitude on abortion rights in Poland, and you're very motivated, and you make a huge contribution to allowing women to seek abortion in Poland. So just to reiterate, some of the most important points I found from this conversation are that the rollback on abortion rights is nothing new, and it's nothing recent. It's happening since 1993 in Poland, and it's a cultural and political construction of curbing women's rights, as you, Kinga, said. I found the notion on the two parallel worlds very interesting, that there is a politics and the law, significantly limiting women in seeking abortion. But on the other side, there's the street, the networks, the activism, and there are groups like yours that are helping so many women to seek abortion. Like Natalia pointed out, 34,000 abortions were allowed because of your efforts last year, and thousands were sent abroad to seek abortion, which has made a huge contribution to women's rights in Poland. And I think a very important point, which is obviously going to be followed up in our next podcast, is that there is no black or white on legislation regarding abortion. Legislation on abortion is never good. If that's in Poland, if that's in any other more developed countries, such as Germany, for example. And this is exactly what we're going to speak about in our next podcast episode with somebody from Amnesty International in Germany. On yes, abortion is allowed in Germany, but somehow not decriminalized, because there is legislation on abortion, and every time that that legislation on abortion exists, it limits people. So in that sense, I would like to say thank you to the three of you for contributing to this discussion, and it's been a pleasure for me to have you here today, and yes. We'll be right back.